to believe in, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Hello, good Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Bounce. It is good to come in your homes again today with a message of Something to Believe In. We've been preaching this message for many years now, and I'm thankful that you're there listening this morning. I hope you're just sitting back and enjoying this day. This is the day the Lord has made, and He made it especially for you, and He said for us to rejoice and be glad therein. So let's rejoice and be glad in this beautiful day that God has made for us, okay? Well, let's do this song for you right here. And this one says, I'm flying higher than I've ever been.
I have heard once the bird has a broken wing. It will never fly higher anymore. Let me tell you what I know. That's not always so. For once I lay helpless and so, I fell from above like a wounded dove, with no hope of ever climbing again. But with grace from above and God's marvelous love, I'm flying higher than I've been. I can see heaven's door. I'm flying higher than I've ever been. Well, I feel by the way, life's wounded prey, and oh Satan, like a vulture, swept low. In my darkest hour, he came to devour what was left of my dying soul. As low as I could get, but God not finished yet. He seemed more good than I had ever saw in me. Now I live above the doubt, so high in the clouds, but I can't see the top of
than I've ever been. Now, you've got to watch out. You don't want to get exalted above your measure, but God said, if he be for you, who can be against you? And we can. We can soar like the mighty eagle. We can have victory in Jesus. And I'm so glad for that. I want to remember Louise and James today in the broadcast. Well, remember Doris Neely, and I hope she's doing well. Then I remember Denise Brown. I hope she's doing well. And so many people I haven't heard from lately. I don't know where they're sick or what's happening to him. But anyhow, I'm remembering you, and I hope that you can remember me. Remember my eyes. I've been having a lot of problems with my eyes lately, and it's been tormenting for me to try to preach. And I'm pastoring up at Red Sulphur Baptist Church 2 times a month and at the Pillar of Truth every Sunday morning. So I'm still trying to go on with my eyes like they are. I've got to go this month now to have a test. And let's pray that God will move miraculously there, because I love the ministry. I love what I'm doing, and I'm going to be doing it as long as you help me maintain this ministry. We will continue on for Jesus Christ. So let's continue on, and if you'll pay and pray and stand behind me, I know that God before me, there's no power that will ever stand against me. Well, let's go right now and do this one right here, and it said, from heaven's point of view.
Today I face a mountain, but I have no strength to climb. The struggle of the journey left me weak both body and mind. Where I stand to the peak is a distance of my own I cannot reach. So this journey of 1,000 steps begins right here up on my knees. Soon I soar like an eagle, high over the grave, far into the heaven, where I can almost touch God's face.
cast into yonder sea, and it shall be done. And I'm glad today that God is truly what he says he is. If he said it, we must believe it. And it's true whether we believe it or not. It's still true. I want to remember Carol and Ann Cole. I appreciate them. Good supporters of mine, Denfield and Kathy. Hope they're doing well. And then Ernie and Betty Joe. Hope they're doing good. And then Barry and Patty Harper. Let's continue to pray for these folks now. We've got a lot of people on our prayer list, and we haven't forgotten you. I know that you need prayer, and I need prayer. I have this macular degeneration in my eye, and it's really taking a toll on it. So I don't have it one eye anyhow, and the other eye is getting bad. So that's reason I make so many mistakes. Well, I got to have something to blame all my mistakes on. But anyhow, with your prayer and God's moving, we can still handle that. I'm still preaching at Red Sulphur. I'm still at the Pillar of Truth Church. I'll be at the Pillar this morning. We're going to have a baptismal service there. We've got an infant to baptize and dedicate to the Lord. So you pray for us, and we'll be praying for you, okay? Well, let's go right now and listen to this song. Hope you enjoy this one. This was said, Lead Me to the Altar.
Lead me to the altar. Lead me to the altar. I hear Jesus, my Savior, calling me. His tender voice I hear. Sunday night, listening to an old town preacher. He was telling of God's saving grace, of his power, and of all his might. What's sitting next to me was a dear old gentleman. His face was wrinkled, his hands were calloused, and his hair had already turned gray. As the preacher told of the home beyond the sky, the old gentleman bowed down his head. Tears came to his eyes, and when the invitation was given for those who had gone astray, he freely took me by the hand, and this I heard him softly say. Well, I am moved by people, I cannot find my way. I need a hand to guide me. Yes, I stray. I've lived my life in vain. My heart was sin stained. Lead me to the altar. Leave me. Lead me to the altar. Lead me to the altar. I hear Jesus, my Savior, calling me. His tender voice I hear, I feel His presence near. Lead me to the altar, lead me.
Build a larger place. I suppose in the Bible this would be the very first time that you would find people building a divinity school, because Elijah was going to teach the prophets who would go throughout the land and teach about God. But this one person wanted to be involved. And you know, today, if we had people like that, that really wanted to be involved, it seemed like no one wants to do anything today. I preached a sermon not long ago called I Don't Do Windows. And I spoke about how Moses said, no, I don't do deserts anymore. And how that if Jesus said, no, I don't do crosses anymore, then we'd not be where we are today. But you see, there's got to be some involvement. People need to get more dedicated to God. People need not only to see visions, have visions, but people need to do their vision. John Wesley said, stay with something until you learn it. So he goes out, he borrows an axe from maybe a friend or a neighbor. But while he is working on this project, all of a sudden, the Bible said the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Master, It was borrowed. You see, we can turn our tragedies into victory. But the way to victory is to admit and to know that we have a problem. And you know, that's one of the hard things for us to face today. People know there's something wrong in their life. People realize that they're not getting anywhere where they want to go. And I like to make the statement, if you're going to go places you've never been, then you're going to have to do things that you've never done before. But this man had lost a thing that he had to work with. And he realized that he had to admit that he had a problem. George Washington once made the statement that 99% of our trouble comes from people who make excuses, those who want to blame someone else. Does that sound familiar? In the New Testament, you remember that many said, well, I bought a piece of land, I must go and see it. I bought some ox, and I must go and prove them. I've taken a wife, so therefore I cannot come. Many excuses are made today for the reason that we're not doing the things that we're doing. And sure enough, tragedy comes. Tragedy can be solved with victory when we admit that we have a problem. It's not the problem, but it is how that we respond to it. This young man had a problem. He had lost his axe head. How is he going to respond? He's going to ask for help. You see, we sometimes don't realize that we need to ask for help. A man was along the side of the road. He'd had a flat. And he was so disgusted and so angry. A man pulls up and says, sir, do you need some help? He had no jack. He had no spare tire. But he was so disgusted and so aggravated that he said to the man, no, I can handle my own situation. The man drove off. And all of a sudden, the man realized, hey, what have I done? What have I said? But you see, in our frustration sometime, we cannot correct a problem because we do not admit the problem. A lot of our problems are homemade trouble. A lot of our troubles are homemade trouble. We don't have any trouble, but somehow or another, we start making troubles for ourselves. And Jonah didn't have any problem. If Jonah had only obeyed God and gone on and doing what God told him to do, he would have never had a problem. But Jonah had a long, hard journey to get to Nineveh. God simply said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Cry again the wickedness of the city. But Jonah, the Bible said, rose to flee in another direction. And a lot of times we are the same way. We cannot really blame Jonah because we have done the very same thing. God has asked us to do a very simple thing. Obedience is much better than sacrifice, to obey God. And today, the obedience that you and I must do can carry a great sacrifice. The great sacrifice is, first of all, to admit that we have a problem. We need to go back to where the problem began. We need to simply ask for help. Help me, Lord. And you know, God is right there. In Peter, when he was sinking, as I've already spoke on before, he was sinking deep into the water because he had gotten his eyes off of Jesus. He cries out for help, and Jesus stretched forth his hand, and Peter never sunk. And by the way, they did get back to the boat. But Peter had to ask for help. And you know, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. I know that I get criticized sometime because how many times in a service that you will hear someone say, have you got an unspoken prayer request? Now, I know that all prayer requests cannot be spoken. Some things should not be talked about. Simply pray about them. But a lot of times we do not receive our prayer request simply because we haven't spoken. We need to speak these things into our faith. We need to speak these things to our children that are unsaved. Mention their name before the throne room of God. Call their name before God. You see, you have a right sometime to make a mistake. A man goes into a restaurant. He's sitting there. He's getting ready to eat his breakfast. And a little boy sitting across, he spilt his milk. And his mama and his daddy, they spanked his hands. They scolded him because he spilt his milk. And the man sitting there at the opposite table, he felt so much sorrow for that young man because he was weeping bitterly because they had scolded him. He had spilt his milk. He reached over in an accidental way and knocked over his glass of water. And the family turned and they looked at him, and he said, "Oh, I just made a terrible mistake." So you see, sir, you have a right to make a mistake. Every one of us at one time or another will make a mistake. And the way to solve our problems is simply ask for help. We need to go to the cross. You see, the handle is there, the cross of Jesus Christ. We need to apply the Word to our problem. We need to apply the Word to our situation. The Bible says, "For by His stripes you are healed." The Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself that any should boast, but it is freely the gift of God." The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Go to the Scripture, sir. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe you also in Me, for in My Father's house there are many mansions." Go to the psalmist David in Psalms 23. "The Lord, He is my shepherd, I shall not want." Go to Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning God." Go to Hebrews chapter 11, and the Bible said, "Without faith it is impossible to please God." We must grasp a hold of the Word of God. Go to John, little John, and the Bible said, "If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin." Anywhere you go into Scripture, you will find strength and find power. Go to Acts chapter 2. They were in one place, in one mind, in one accord. It was the day of Pentecost. And then the Holy Ghost came, and all that were in the house were filled as they began to speak with other tongues, as the Holy Ghost, by the evidence of fire, set upon them the purification of God. Go all through the Bible in Acts 1 and 8. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The Word of God is powerful, more powerful than a two-edged sword. We must be convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's Word is able to do that above that we ever expected of Him. Because if God be for you, there is no power that can stand against you. You see, the handle is there at the cross. Go to the cross, sir. Find the cross real in your life. Because without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission for sin. As Jesus hangs upon the cross, He prayed for you and I. He said, "Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do." You see, He's praying for your forgiveness. He's praying for your doubt. He's praying for your unbelief. We must be convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt. Without the help of God, we'll never make it. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we will never be saved. It is very important that we realize that God still has the handle. You see, the axe is helpless. The axe is hopeless without God. Miracles only come in the time of problem. We need miracles. God will supply our miracles. We don't need to pray for a miracle, because God knows the miracle that we need. He knows the very thing that we need. And He can supply our need according to His riches and glory. So you see, if we're going to turn our tragedy into victory, we must first admit that we have a problem. "I have a problem, God. I have fallen. I have failed. I have come short to the glory of God. I have shot high, but I missed. But God, I'm willing to go back where the problem began, and I'm willing to admit that I do have a problem. The only way I can solve my problem and correct it is by my attitude. How do I feel about the situation? Do I?"
I said, "I'll go there. They look out the crowd. It's just a weak minded I feel. Well, I walked up the steps and I looked to the door. The devil said, 'Don't you go in.' I said, 'It won't hurt me. I'll just step inside. I'll sit as far back as I can.' Straight down at me. He told everybody how mean I had been.
church today and magnifying the Lord. The Lord's been good to us. This is the day the Lord hath made for us. So let's get out and go to the house of God. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful that we had this 30 minutes to set in heavenly places, Lord, and we've tried to do our very best. We don't know what you're doing, but God, we know that you're lifting up people, you're saving people, you're healing people. You are a great God. And Father, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And I'm glad that I've been able to be about my Father's business, being able to preach the gospel to people, sing a song or do something to lift them up this morning. I lift them up and hoping that they're praying for me. And Lord, you lift me up today. So I'm going to have a baptismal service today. So I want you to pray for me and pray for my churches. And well, let's just pray together. Let's pray that souls will be saved and won for the kingdom of God. Well, it's been good to be with you. I appreciate you. I love you. And I hope that you're planning on helping me this month. Well, goodbye. Be good. And may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer. Reverend Tommy Mounts, 2642 Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, 2642 Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Be good. Until we meet again next Sunday, be good. And may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.